Let's open our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to look today at the topic of grace, how grace is God's idea. I like to come back to this topic several times in a year. Apostle Paul thought it was important too, because in the book of Galatians, he warned the Galatian church because they started out in grace and then they fell away from grace. And they started to get into works righteousness. And that's something that we need to be careful. Now, the other side of the coin is sometimes people don't get into the idea of how they tap into God's grace, and they kind of make excuses for everything that goes on to our life. Grace technically means unmerited favor. And we all need favor in our life. It's favor from God that you and I cannot earn. It's something that we don't deserve. It's something that's just given to us. And sometimes that's a hard concept for us to grab a hold of. But on the other hand, grace to me is not an excuse that you and I can live a flippant life, meaning that we just go out and just do whatever happens and then, you know, we just say, I'm sorry. You know, I believe that grace also can mean that it's a way out of our situations and problems. It's a way that you and I can tap in to overcome. To me, it's a solution and not an endorsement for falling short. And grace succeeds in our life when we fail. And I believe if we get this revelation down in our hearts, I believe it'll help us to live that overcoming life. I know in my life when I received, you know, revelation from God, especially in this area, there was a dynamic change in my walk with God. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10 says, and this is the Apostle Paul talking here, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us today to serve You. And Lord, we just ask that You stir up in us a heart of desire and passion to be able to want more of You in our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To me, grace is not an excuse, and that's the first point we're going to look at today. You know, when I was in Bible school, Maryland always called it greasy grace. You know, any time in life, there's two types of people, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on. Some people feel condemned all the time, right? Some people just feel like they never are good enough, and so they're always beating themselves up. And then on the other side of the coin, you have some people that just feel that everything's okay and they can do whatever they want, and you know, and just, you know, they use grace as an excuse for all their problems. And somehow we got to find the middle in between there. Because on one, both are in one side of the ditch or the other. You know what I mean by going in the ditch? I mean, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of times in the ditch. You know, I knew a lot of ditches on the way home. And, you know, those ditches ain't no fun. It's better to stay in the road. Now I drive down the middle road, so I got to be careful. You know what I'm saying? I got to, you know, because I get to gawking around at all the wildlife. You know, but we need to stay on the road so that we learn how to walk where God wants us to be. Now, the Apostle Paul gave us great revelation and insight here. I don't know about you, but I've always mentioned he's one of the people in the Bible that I really admire. And how he started out, notice he kind of, he beat himself up, but not real bad here. He said, you know, I'm not worthy because I used to persecute the church. But he didn't stop there. And we shouldn't stop there either. Because I don't know, you know, I don't know how many people say, well, you know, I can't go in the church, it's going to fall down. You know, have you ever been, you know, heard that stuff, you know, just ridiculous stuff, you know, why they can't, you know, start seeking after God. But Paul, you know, he knew that he had done wrong. But yet he went on and he learned the idea of what grace is. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But then he said he had to labor in it also, and we're going to look at that a little bit. See, a lot of people, their idea or concept of grace is that they just go through life and just whatever happens, happens, and that's all good. And, you know, if it turns out, if I succeed, fine. If I fail, fine. You know, whatever. But see, Paul learned how to tap into grace and for what it really was. And if we do that, I think we're going to find greater success in our walk. Now, we know that none of us are perfect and we're prone to making mistakes, right? We all are. Nobody's perfect other than Jesus Christ. But how we deal with our shortcomings makes a difference, in my opinion, of what kind of success and what kind of advertising, shall we say, we're going to do for God. Did you know you're a billboard? We're all billboards, aren't we? When people see us, we're advertising for Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's good advertising, sometimes it's bad, right? You know, so we want to try to make sure that we're doing, you know, the best that we can. Now, when it comes to these shortcomings, and we all know what they are, we can either accept it and keep making excuses, and that's one option. Option two is to confront it and look for answers. That's the option I enjoy. That just fits my personality a little better. You know, I like to fix things. When something's broke, just get her fixed and get on with it. You know, and you know, I know what it's like because, you know, nobody is born a Christian. We must be born again, right? You know, that's why you need that new life. And we all have certain struggles as we come to God. And to me, there's a difference between the concept of, you know, how we deal with those shortcomings, because there's a difference between effort and works. And this is a revelation that we need to grab a hold of. Because some Christians think you don't ever have to try. And if we get to the point in our life where we never have to try, I don't know about you, but when I don't try, I don't do very well. I don't know how you are, but maybe you're just gifted or something. That you never have to try and everything just falls into place all the time. I'm not like that. I have to try a little bit. I have to put some effort. But I need to understand when it comes to the things of God, there's a difference between works and effort. And if we can understand that, because works is us trying by our own strength to try to clamor and to get God's attention, to show God how good we are by the giftings that we have. And what happens is that when we get into works righteousness, it separates us from the grace of God, and then we're judged by the law. Now, being judged by the law means we have to keep the whole law or we fail. You know, a lot of people like it when the teacher's grade on the curve, right? You remember that in school? Yeah, grading on the curve. I know I'm smarter than that person over there, so at least I'm not going to be the bottom, right? No, that's not how it works with God. It's either pass, fail. You're in or you're out. You're up or you're down. And he gauges us by Jesus Christ's walk. No pressure, right? But see, when we choose to yield and to understand that it's through faith, by grace through faith, and then we tap in, and then when Jesus done it, it's like he done it for us. Then we understand that revelation. So really, it's just a revelation away. So when we see that, so we understand that we're not in the works righteousness, but on the other hand, we have to supply some effort. We need to read the Bible, right? That's a no-brainer. Well, that's works. No, it's not. That's just smart. That's putting a little effort into your relationship. I think we've all been there in a relationship that we never put any effort into. Right, guys? Sometimes we do that, don't we? We forget the effort part, and we put it on autopilot because we already got the ring. Got the ring, baby. You know, I'm married. I don't have to try no more. How many had that backfire on them? I think we all have a time or two, haven't we? Still got to put a little effort into the relationship. And so the effort is, you know, reading the Bible and then maybe praying and maybe, you know, being a part of Christian fellowship, all these things and being open to revelation. You know, it's not just an informational thing with God. It's not just about memorizing scripture, but, you know, let the Spirit of God reveal things to us. And then we all of a sudden start to understand it. And what I believe the simplest thing is effort is supplying our want to along with God's ability to. All we have to do is really want it. How bad do we want it? Now, there's some things in life we really want, don't we? You know, some people really want chocolate, right? No. Some people really want a steak. Some people really, I really want a new car. I really want a new house. I really want this. I really want that. See, those things are all trivial things. But when it comes to God, that's the stuff we really should want. Do we really want God? I think that's a valid question. When we wake up in the morning, or whenever you wake up, maybe you work nights and you sleep in the day, however you look at it. When you wake up, do we really want God? Is that one of an important thing in our life? And I think, you know, all we have to do is, God, I want you. I want you to take control of my life. I want to know you in a better way. I really want to serve you. I know I fail, but I really want to serve you. So God, I ask for your strength. I ask you to work through me. And see, that's us applying effort, and then God gives the ability. Now, on the other hand, somebody who wakes up and says, bless God, I'm the best there's ever been, you know. You ever heard of Johnny Rosenbaum? That's what I used to call him. You know who I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Maybe listen to old country music. You know, Charlie Daniels, when he said, Johnny, you rosin up your bow and play that fiddle hard, you know, that type of deal. You know, Johnny took the devil on, didn't he? You know, we're not supposed to do that. That's not good. That's not wisdom. But, you know, we think we're better than everything, and then that's works righteousness, and we're all going to fall short. Now, Paul, he learned the life hack that we need to learn of how to keep that relationship strong. Now, one of the things that he learned is found in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it's talking about grace as a way out. So first we notice that grace is not an excuse. We just can't, you know, use it as an excuse. You know, I'm human. Yeah, we know. Or, I'm not perfect. Yeah, we know that too. But I see grace as a way out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but it's such as common to man. And God is able, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you'll be able to endure it. Now to me, that puts a little more responsibility on our part, doesn't it? Because God promises there that he's not going to let us be tempted beyond what we can handle. But he's going to give us a way out. There's always an option, isn't they? Aren't they? I don't know. I butcher the English language. I apologize if some of you are really into that stuff. I try to get better. But I need to quit trying and use grace, right? Never study? No, just kidding. But, you know, there's always options out there. And, you know, we all have certain things we struggle with. Things that try to hold us back. Things that maybe try to put us down and depending, you know, where we're at in our walk. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever felt trapped before? That's a bad feeling when you feel trapped. You know, you picture maybe an animal's got its legs stuck in a trap. Or maybe, you know, you're in a closed, you know, that feeling like you're in a, I don't want to say this weird, but like in a coffin. And, you know, somebody buried you alive. You know, that feeling, you just, ugh. You just can't get out of the situation. And sometimes that's what sin in our life feels like. You know, maybe you started the process with God. And you're starting, you love God. You're being faithful to him. You're doing, you know, the best you can, what you know to do. But there's always something that creeps up in your life. That little thing, which maybe sometimes you make a big thing, and it's always holding you back. We just can't get the victory. Whatever that may be. You know, and those things come into our life. And then we feel trapped by them because we can't get free from it, no matter, you know. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the harder that we try, the more condemned that we feel. You know, and like I say, fill in the blank. Maybe you're trying to stop doing this or stop doing that or stop, you know, hanging out here or hanging out there or maybe, you know, whatever the case may be. Because I don't want to say nothing out there because I don't want to condemn nobody today. This is a grace message, right? So I don't want to throw any examples out there. Just let it come to your mind what it is. You know, but to me, I think a safe one would be is, you know, that the idea that sometimes sin has a hold on us. And I equate that to like an addiction. You know, we can be addicted to anything, can't we? It don't have to be just drugs or alcohol or sex or the stuff that we'd probably put in this other category over here. You know what I mean? You know, we can be addicted to anything. And that addiction sometimes controls us. And maybe you've come to the point in your life where you say, you know, I don't want to be addicted to this anymore. I want to be free from this. Because I really feel this is bad for me. I'm not saying this is bad for everybody, but I know where I'm at with my walk with God. This, what I'm doing, is bad for me. And what I see in addiction is something that we really don't need, but we really, really, really want it. You know what I mean? Whatever that may be. You fill in the blank in your life, whatever you feel you're addicted to that maybe you've wanted to be free from, and then you know, maybe it's some sort of food or you're not going to, let's say, I'll throw an easy one out there. Maybe you decided, bless God, I'm not going to eat anything past 8 o'clock at night. And that's your, because you know you're wanting to maybe lose weight or you feel whatever the case may be. And then you get up and every time you walk by that cupboard, man, there's them cupcakes. Right? Or whatever, your taco chips with hot sauce. That's what I like, you know. And you walk by that cupboard, and you just know it's calling your name. And you really know you don't need it, right? Because you're not going to die if you don't get it. So it's really more of a want. And the more you walk by that, whatever that is, you just know you got to have it. And sometimes you'll be strong, sometimes you won't. And how do you feel when you give in and you eat it? You feel kind of down, don't you, a little bit? Yeah. I failed. I failed myself. Yeah. I'm better than this. Yeah. You know, you get them ideas going through your head. And see, you know, but really, I just use that as food. But there's other worse things that we can be addicted to. I there's stuff out there that can really hurt us. But that the scripture says that God, you know, he knows that we are prone to error, but yet he provides that way of escape. And what I want you to understand today, you know, grace is not an excuse. But also, I don't want us to forget when I share this information, is that grace is there to pick us back up. Never forget that. That is the main thing that we always need to know, that no matter how many times we fail, God's grace is there to get us back up, dust us off a little bit, you know. I mean, you have been around little kids. Kids fall, don't they? You know, they're out there and, you know, you watch them and, you know, they just go down. They just fall. Fall on the concrete. Get all scuffed up, bleeding. You know, what do? You just pick them up. You don't leave them down there. You don't say, you stupid idiot, I told you not to run on that concrete, and look what you did. Now, maybe you have thought that, but you shouldn't say that, right? Now, parents, now be honest. You know, how many times you warned them not to do something, they do it anyway. No, you go over and you pick them up, you brush them off a little bit, and you maybe go out and get the boo-boo bear or whatever that is, you know, that little ice thing that's a bear, and you put it on and say, oh, you're okay, you know. No, that's what grace is. Grace keeps picking them up. And see, that's what God does to you and I. He keeps picking us up. Now, on the other hand, you know, we need to understand that, you know, God will never take temptation away. There is a place, if you want to go there, where there's no temptation. And that's heaven. So, either your option is to go to heaven or stay down here and learn to deal with it. Right? That's our options. You got two options. Because temptation's out there everywhere. And so we need to understand, you know, the idea how this system kind of works. You know, that, you know, God's grace is there to help us to overcome that temptation so that we don't stumble all the time. You know, there's got to come a time in our walk with God when we're tired of going down. You remember Rocky? I mean, to me, that's what bat life is. Rocky 1 or 2, I don't know about the old other ones. But man, he just kept getting a tar beat out of him, didn't he? I mean, just bam, keep going down. But one thing about Rocky, he kept getting up, didn't he? Just kept getting up, kept coming. And see, there comes a time when we decide, I'm not going down again. I'm not going to stumble in this sin again. I understand that the devil's out there and I'm not going to stumble, but I'm going to learn from it. And see, that's when we tap into the idea of God's grace. See, when we're a baby Christian, all we understand is that God will pick you up stuff. But as we mature, we understand the fact that I don't have to go down. And that's where we need to get. We need to understand that God's grace is there to help us to overcome. It gives us the power to be able to deal with these attacks that come from the enemy. And I'll be honest, some victories in our life are instantaneous. I know things in my life, you know, God just went, bam, it's gone. I got the victory. Other things in my life, incremental. A little bit here, a little bit more, a little bit more, and before you know it, you're there. I love the fast ones. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm a microwave kind of guy. I just assumed it was all quick, but it's not. But we learn more about God sometimes, and we start to understand Him better through the incremental process because we learn to lean on Him, and we need to be more dependent on Him. And then we can get to the place that He wants us to be. Now, one thing that Paul understood, the idea, is that, you know, as we focus on God's strength working in us and through us, that helps us because a lot of people make the mistake, they just focus on their failure. You could be really good at a lot of things, but how many, be honest, how many, you know, some of you women are very beautiful, but when you look in the mirror, you see that one little spot, don't you? You see that one spot, that one little, you know, maybe you're young, a pimple. You know, as you get older, pimples are cool, ain't they? You know, wow, I got a pimple. I'm still young. You know? No, not that bad. Close. But see, we're prone to pick on ourselves. We look at our imperfections and the things that's wrong. And see, we need to learn that if we're going to start to walk in victory, yeah, we need to be aware of the things we need to work on, but we need to focus on the strengths, our strengths, and the great things that God does through us and in us, and then we're going to start to see the victory. Lastly, I'm going to read the cry of Paul's heart about grace that overcomes in Romans 7, verse 19 to 25. And this is where Paul gets really honest and really real. You know, for being a man of God, an apostle, I mean, he had healed people. He had went out and started all kinds of churches, done all these great things for God. But then he writes this passage, and we can start to see, you know, really what it's like. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." We could probably stop right there and think about it and have a pity party, couldn't we? Then he goes on to say, "But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that which dwells in me." Now we're starting to see a little separation here, and I want to get to that revelation. "I find then the principle that this evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of sin and this death?" There's the key. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." Paul could see the difference between the old nature and the new nature. And that's kind of what we need to kind of focus on here and understand the new life of Christ. And that if we start to understand the idea that the old nature has passed away and that we're walking in the new nature. Now, Paul was not just sticking his head in the sand. I know that's not what he wanted us to get the revelation here. But he wanted us to be able to see the fact that we need to start seeing things for what they really are, how God sees us. Now, when we get into works righteousness, when God looks at us, he sees us as we really are, which isn't good sometimes. He sees us right when we get out of bed in the morning. That's not our best time sometimes, is it? Now, but if we're into grace and walking in by the strength that God gives, when the Father looks at us, he sees us through the Son. So when you look in a mirror, it's like you see Jesus looking back. That's how the Father looks at us. Because he sees us through the finished work of Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how he remembers us. And if we get that revelation, that's what Paul was talking about here. Paul knew that he messed up sometimes, but yet he wasn't going to focus on his failures. He understood that dilemma. And what I like about Paul, that he wasn't a holier-than-thou kind of preacher. He didn't make people feel down. He tried to pick people up. You know, the real him wanted to be faithful to Christ all his days. But, you know, he never did that. But sometimes he knew that the flesh nature, you know, would be rebellious sometimes. And he chose to identify with the new man rather than the old man. And you think about Paul. Paul was one of those guys that was very intense. But not everything. One thing about the Bible, it's real in the sense it tells it like it really was. Now, Paul wasn't perfect, and I think when he was talking about this scripture, he was probably thinking back to one of his greatest mistakes he probably ever made. And it's recorded in the Bible. It's when him and Barnabas got in an argument over John Mark. And the argument got so heated that him and Barnabas separated. Their ministry separated. So that's when Paul ended up taking Silas on and Barnabas went after John Mark. So here's his ministry part. Think about it. Barnabas was the only one that accepted Paul when nobody else would, right? Yep. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Barnabas reached out to him, the hand of love, and accepted him in as a brother. Well, now they had a big fight. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, isn't it bad when we lose our temper? The only thing worse than being a Christian and losing your temper in front of people is to be a preacher and do it. Ouch! You know what I mean? You're supposed to be leading people. And you lost your cool. Everybody's gonna make a mistake. But see, Paul understood firsthand what it was to make a mistake. But he could have quit the ministry and said, "Oh, I'm not fit for the kingdom. First I persecuted the church, now look at me. I got in a big fight in front of everybody in the church. I'm not fit to lead the church." That's one way of looking at it, isn't it? And some people would probably quit, throw in the towel, walk away. But he didn't. He got back up and he went out and he planted churches, just kept going. Because he knew firsthand, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. He knows the battle of the two natures like you and I have going on inside of us. We have the old nature trying to pull us back, but we don't need to yield to that. We need to be grabbing a hold of this new nature and being able to walk in the way that God wants us to be. So how do we apply this? Number one, we need to know ourselves. And you need to know yourself. You need to get real with yourself. And, you know, stop living in la-la land, right? And understand yourself. Number one, are you the type of person who always condemns yourself and puts yourself down? If that's you, then you need to see grace as a way to cut yourself some slack and experience God's love and God's rest. And that's a valid point, if you're the type of person that's always condemning yourself. But on the other hand, you got this other person that's always lazy in their faith. They have all this potential, but they always make excuses of why they can't. Then, if that's you, you need to see grace as a way to experience God's strength in your life so you can overcome those problems. Not just make excuses that God's grace is there. God will forgive me. You know, I know that. But, you know, there comes a time when you've got to quit asking for forgiveness and ask for strength to be able to beat this thing back. You know, beat the devil back in our life. So you just need to know, what's your personality type? Where are you at in your walk right now? And there's any time, maybe in the same week, maybe even the same day, you're both these people. You know what I mean? We're split personalities sometimes, aren't we? And we can be that way. Secondly, you know, don't always make excuses why we can't, but look for solutions why we can. I believe God's power is there to overcome, resides inside of every one of us. You know, the Holy Spirit came to live in us as we're born again. Next, we need to see grace as an enabler in our life. When we finally see that we're not in this alone, we're going to overcome. Because God's with us every step of the way. You know, grace helps us to let go of our past and grab a hold of our future. You all have a future. You all have a past too. You know that, don't you? We all have a past. We don't need to see that past. We don't need to grab a hold of that past. You know, I haven't been to a class reunion for a long time. But I went to maybe my 5 and 10 year. That was all good. I'm not, you know, saying don't go or nothing. But one thing that I, I'd moved on. And I'm sure everybody else has too. But the last thing I want to do is get together and talk about what we used to do in the good old days. You know, because from my perspective now, they weren't all that good. You know, now that I've experienced the blood of Jesus washing me, you know. I can look back and laugh at it, you know. But there was a time I cried. But I mean, I can laugh at it now. But see, there's a time to let go of the things that are behind and grab a hold of the things that are yet to come. And we grab a hold of those things and we start to get to where God wants us to be. Next, grace is a disabler. Helps us again to forget that old nature. You know, when we get that revelation, it's not by works, lest any man boast. We're well on the way to freedom. We're all on the way to freedom. And lastly, we need to choose to identify with the new life and not the old. Don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let him keep making you think. And here's the hardest thing. I know I'm circling here. But what happens is that we as believers, we maybe make a mistake, we repent, and we move on. And, you know, far as the east is from the west, God's forgiven us. He'll never bring it up again. That's one thing I like about God. He never brings up our past. He always tells us about our future. But yet, you may be cooking along real good for about a week, and then all of a sudden you make a mistake again. And the devil's going to come up and tell you that, see, you didn't change. And God forbid your spouse comes up and tells you, you didn't change. You know what I mean? I'm not saying get rid of your spouse, but you need to get rid of the devil, amen? And don't get rid of your spouse. I mean, pray for them. But that's what happens. That's how the enemy works to try to drag us back. So we need to identify with the new. Just remember that grace does not give us permission to live however we want, but grace gives us the ability to live as we should. Let's pray.